Good evening. Now we have Austin visiting us today, and he brought his parents. So afterwards, please everybody go visit Austin and his parents. I think that's right. Austin, is that right? Yeah. Hi, Austin. He's ignoring me now. We've been talking about grace over the last number of Sunday nights, and I hope that you have fallen in awe of our God, because our topic tonight will increase that awe. I've entitled this God's Glory, Our Glory, because God has promised us something in Jesus Christ that's incredible. He has promised us that we will share in the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. It just blows my mind. Lee, have we earned that right to share in the glory of Christ?
No.
Absolutely not. And that's what makes it so amazing that God has called us to share in the glory of Jesus. How many of you have ever been to Egypt and seen the pyramids? A couple. I never have. I've seen pictures of them. What are those pyramids doing there? Do they just pop up one day? Or what's the purpose of the pyramids?
To honor man.
To honor man. And to honor particular men. Does anybody know who they honor?
Pharaoh.
Wow. But which ones?
Yeah.
The ones that are buried. But I hope you see my point. Men want to be remembered. Maybe women too, I don't know. But mankind, maybe I should say, wants to be remembered. Now, how many of you have been in cemeteries and read the stones? Now, many, I can't even raise my hand there. And when I was in Germany, I was noticing there were some just very simple, and a lot of 16-year-olds who died in 1945, if you know what I'm talking about. Hitler's last hope, putting out 15 and 16-year-olds to save the fatherland. And this is just a simple little cross with a name and the date they were born and died. And I was just shocked as I walked down, 15-year-old, 16-year-old. But who are these young men? The last grasp for glory to be remembered. And Jesus said, you are remembered to Christians, and you will share in the glory of Christ. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to 1 Peter. And let's read verses 3 through 12 together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now we hope for the blessings God has for His children. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or be spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. This makes you very happy, even though for now, for a short time, different kinds of troubles may make you sad. These troubles come to prove that your faith is pure. This purity of faith is worth more than gold, which can be proved to you to be pure by fire, but will ruin. But the purity of your faith will bring you praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is shown to you. You have not seen Christ, but still you love Him. You cannot see Him now, but you believe in Him. So you are filled with a joy that cannot be explained, a joy full of glory. And you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The prophets searched carefully and tried to learn about this salvation. They prophesied about the grace that was coming to you. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, telling in advance about the sufferings of Christ and about the glory that would follow those sufferings. The prophets tried to learn about what the Spirit was showing them, when these things would happen, and what the world would be like at that time. It was shown them that their service was not for themselves, but for you. When they told about the truths that you now heard, those who preached the good news to you told you those things with the help of the Holy Spirit, who was sent from heaven, things into which angels desire to look. And I hope you heard what our hope is. The hope of a glory that is to come, and according to Peter, the glory that we can enjoy even now. So first, Christians are born for glory. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we, Christians, have been born anew. And anyone who would like to be born again can be born again through the blood of Christ. And those who have been born anew share in a living hope. What's the difference between a living hope and a dead hope?
Disciples on the road to Emmaus had
before
they saw Jesus
and transformed into a living hope. Because a living hope is based upon what? Upon the resurrection of a living Christ. That means our hope is alive and living and wonderful because Jesus is alive in heaven. A living hope. And that hope includes the sharing of the glory of God. I hope that blows your mind. I hope that makes you bend down the knee tonight and thank God for the glory that He has and is giving us. But what is the glory of God? The glory of God means the sum total of all that God is and does. Everything that God is and does is marked by His glory. Who knows what Psalm 19 says? Correct. His creation shows the glory of God, and we are His new creation. The glory of God shines in us. When mankind separated himself from God, he denied and left the glory of God. Today we might think how dumb they were to be in the glory of God. And we were created to live within that glory. That's true. So when man separated himself from the glory of God, it was God Himself who decided to help us gain that glory back. It wasn't something we wanted, or we would never have left in the first place. But God wanted the glory to be shared with us. Undeserving people. And the Christian will one day share in that glory fully. So we see here in Peter that a Christian birth is needed. We have been called to be born again. We were chosen by the Father in Christ to be born again. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. That is, in Christ, He chose us before the world was made so that we would be His holy people, people without blame before Him. Did we do anything to deserve this glory? What did Paul just tell us? That God decided to do this before there was ever a Charlie, before there was even a Henry. God had decided to let us live in glory, His glory. So this took place before we were ever born. We would have known nothing about this had not God revealed it in His Word through the Holy Spirit. The election was not based on what we did. It is not based upon what we would do. It was based upon the grace of God. And grace, by its very nature, means a gift. A gift that was not earned, but a gift that was given through love and freely. So God's election is based upon His love and upon His grace. But our birth in Christ involves much more than just God electing us through Christ. It also includes the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is it that convicts the world of sin? The Holy Spirit. Who is it that enters a newborn Christian at his birth? The Holy Spirit of God. Who is it that brought us the Word that when preached brings about faith? The Holy Spirit of God. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing the good news, and the people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. How many people have we been telling about Christ lately? To invoke faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we read, brothers and sisters, whom the Lord loves, God chose you from the beginning to be saved, so we must always thank God for you. You are saved by the Spirit that makes you holy, and by your faith in the truth. God used the good news that we preach to call you to be saved, so that you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine God calling us to share in the glory of God Himself? It's just amazing. It's a grace. Wonderful, saving grace. But also, there's more than just the Holy Spirit and God the Father involved in our salvation. The Son had to die. He had to die upon a cross that we might obtain salvation. So we have been chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and set apart by the Spirit. Without all three of the Godhead, we would still be lost sinners in this world. And Peter did not deny man's part in God's plan of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, 21, 22, and 23, he emphasizes the fact that the gospel was preached to these people, that they heard it, that they believed it, and that they obeyed it. I think you see man's role here. Someone's got to preach. Someone's got to hear. Someone's got to believe, and someone has got to obey. Through Christ, you believed in God, who raised Christ from the dead and gave Him glory. So your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have made your souls pure by obeying the truth, you can have true love for your Christian brothers and sisters. So love each other deeply with all your heart. You have been born again, and this new life did not come from something that dies, but from something that cannot die. You were born again through God's living message that continues forever. 1 Peter 1, 21 through 23. Even in his sermon that Peter preached at Pentecost, he taught the responsibilities of mankind, what he must do for his salvation. So we see the same God who ordains the end, our salvation, also ordains the means to that end, the preaching of the gospel and our obedience to that message. But we also read here in Peter, Christians have a hope, a living hope. It is living because it is grounded upon the living Word of God and upon the living God, our Savior, Jesus Christ in heaven. Because it has life, it can give life. Our hope grows and becomes greater as time wears on. Our hope is called an inheritance. What does inheritance mean? Usually after someone dies or passes away. And we have been given an inheritance. Our hope is called an inheritance in verse 4. Jesus has included us in his last will and testament. And he will share his glory with us. I like what John says in John 17, starting with verse 22. I have given these people, Jesus is talking, I have given these people the glory that you gave me so that they can be one, just as you and I are one. I will be in them and you will be in me so that they will be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you loved them just as you loved me. Father, I want these people that you gave me to be with me where I am. I want them to see my glory which you gave me because you loved me before the world was made. The completion of our salvation, the completion of the glory that God wants to give us, will occur on the day that Jesus Christ returns. Then we will have new bodies. We will enter a new heaven. No, we will enter a new city. Heaven. I correct myself. Peter called this the hope of the appearing of Jesus Christ. A wonderful hope for all of us. What a thrilling thing to know. We were born for glory. Not the glory of war, not the glory of life, but the glory of eternal life with God Himself. But Christians are also being kept for glory. Did you listen when I read verse 5 in 1 Peter? God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you at the end of time. Not only is Christ's glory being reserved for us, but we are being kept for that glory. A timid Christian might ask, what if we don't make it? But we will, if our faith is where? In Jesus Christ. Can Monty make it to heaven alone? Absolutely not. But Monty and Jesus, the Monty part has little to do with it, except that my faith is in one greater than myself. We are being kept by God's power. The world translated protect means guarded. I said the world. I typo. I make mistakes, Charlie. I'm a terrible typer. The word translated here, protect, means to guard, to keep safe, to protect. Believers are not kept by their own power, but by the power of God. Our faith in Christ has united us to Him, and it is His power that guards and protects us. We are not kept by our strength, but by His faithfulness. God is faithful, the Bible teaches. even when we are not faithful. And how long will He guard us, according to the text? Until Jesus returns. The same truth is repeated in verse 9, and you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It is encouraging to know that we are guarded for glory. According to Romans 8, verse 30, God planned for them to be like His Son. And those He planned to be like His Son, He also called. And those He called, He also made right with Him. And those He made right, He also glorified. God wants to glorify His people. We have been glorified already. All that awaits us is the public revelation at the coming of Christ that God has glorified us. In Romans 8, starting with verse 18, he says, or Paul says, The suffering we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be shown to us. Everything God made is waiting with excitement for God to show His children's glory completely. Everything God made was changed to become useless, not by its own wish, but because God wanted it, and because all along there was this hope that everything God made would be set free from ruin to have the freedom and glory that belongs to God's children. We know that everything God made has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside us. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise. So we are waiting for God to finish making us His own children, which means our bodies will be made free. The assurance of heaven is a great help today. It helps us to strive to be faithful and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what Paul says also in 2 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 7. We have this treasure from God, but we are like clay jars that hold the treasure. This shows that the great power is from God, not from us. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we do not give up the hope of living. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. We carry the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the life of Jesus can also be seen in our bodies. We are alive, but for Jesus, we are always in danger of death so that the life of Jesus can be seen in our bodies that die. So death is working in us, but life is working in you. It is written in the Scriptures, I believe, so I spoke. Our faith is like this too. We believe, and so we speak. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and we know that God will also raise us with Jesus. God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before Him. All these things are for you, and so the grace of God that is being given to more and more people will bring increasing thanks to God for His glory. So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Let us rejoice. God has not left us defenseless. But Christians are also being prepared for glory. He said, in this, Peter said in chapter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We need to keep in mind that God plans and performs things according to His will. He has heaven in store for us, and He is preparing us for our service to Him in heaven. Nobody knows what heaven is really going to be like. I'm not very musical, and I can't imagine me playing a harp in heaven. But God knows what I'm going to be doing, and He is preparing me and you here upon this earth for that service. Life today is a school in which God trains us for this future ministry in eternity. This explains the presence of trials in our lives. Trials are tools of God in His textbook in preparing and teaching Christians for the future in heaven. Peter used the word trial rather than tribulation or persecution because he was dealing with the general problems that arise in the lives of Christians. And he shared several facts about trials. Trials meet needs. We may not always know the need being met, but we can trust God to know that it is for our best. Trials are varied. It's not always the same trial that comes. And just because we make it through one trial does not mean that no other trials will be coming. Trials are varied. Trials are not easy. I don't know what some of you think, but trials are not easy that come in life. Trials produce what Peter called grief. To deny that trials aren't painful does not prepare us when trials come. We need to be honest. Trials are not easy. They can cause grief, and we need to be ready for them and to know that they will be painful. But they are needed to refine our faith. Trials are controlled by God. They will not last forever. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the only temptation that has come to you is that which everyone has. But you can trust God, who will not permit you to be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will also give you a way to escape so that you will be able to stand it. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith not worth having. God's objective with trials is to help us reflect the glory and the beauty of Christ. What will trials bring us? According to Peter, praise and glory and honor that will be revealed in Jesus Christ. And this is why Peter says we should rejoice in our trials. The person who abandons his faith when the going gets tough, only proves that maybe he never really had a true faith in Jesus, because that also means a trust. And I like what Job says in Job 23, verse 10 through 12. But God knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, I will come out like gold. My feet have closely followed His steps. I have stayed in His ways. I did not turn aside. I have never left the commands He has spoken. I have treasured His words more than my own. And this was said by a man who suffered much. Not only are we born for glory, kept for glory, and being prepared for glory, Christians, according to Peter, can enjoy the glory now. Christians do not live by the philosophy, pie in the sky, by and by. Peter says we can enjoy the glory now, even in the midst of trial. And he lists four ways. First off, through loving Christ. When you are hurting, lift up your heart in worship to God through Jesus Christ. This will help you see the bigger picture. This will help you trust the Lord to know that God is bigger than our problems. Satan wants to destroy us. God wants to make us stronger. So love Christ, and when you're hurting, worship Him. Trust Christ. We must live by faith and not by sight. It might look dark, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We don't see it, but we know it. Faith means surrendering all to God and obeying His word in spite of circumstances, in spite of consequences. Love and faith go together. In times of trial, let us feed upon the word of God. Turn to the word and read. You'll be amazed by the strength that you will find in that word. What did Jesus use to defeat Satan? Scripture. Thirdly, rejoice in Christ. You may not be able to rejoice over the circumstances, but you can rejoice in them by centering your heart and your mind on Jesus. Each trial helps us to grow closer to Christ and makes us more Christ-like. That's the reason for trials. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as part of the sanctification process. The joy that is produced by the Spirit of God, according to Peter here, was unspeakable joy, full of glory. And last, receive from Christ. If we believe Him, trust Him, and rejoice in Him, we can receive all that we need to get through our trials. Let us not forget, Jesus had to suffer before He could receive glory. And we too will receive glory at the end of our suffering. Yes, Christians were born for glory. When we trust Christ, we will receive that glory, as we now have that glory, and it will be revealed one day. When we love Him, when we trust Him, and we rejoice in Him, we will experience the glory through the inexplainable joy that we have in our lives. Brothers and sisters, it is this hope that helps us to hold on in times of trials. If God is for us, who can be against us? Would you like to be a part of this wonderful glory that is reserved for us? Then come this evening as we stand and sing our invitation song.